दालिता
भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेव.
टुडे वी विल टेक वन वर्स फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम दैट्स इन द कैंटो 11 द चैप्टर इज 14 टेक्स्ट 26. This verse is spoken by Lord Krishna himself to Uddhava. The translation and purport is like this. So Lord says, when a diseased eye is treated with medical ointment, it gradually recovers its power to see. Similarly, as a conscious living entity cleanse himself of material contamination by hearing and chanting the pious narrations of my glories, he regains his ability to see me, the absolute truth, in my subtle original spiritual form. Purport. The Lord is called Sukshma because he is pure spiritual consciousness, without any tinge of material energy. If one chants and hears the holy name and glories of Krishna with great sincerity, there is immediately a transcendental effect. We can immediately see the spiritual world and the pastimes of the Lord if we are fully surrendered to the process mentioned here. A blind person feels perpetual gratitude to a doctor who restores his sight. Similarly, we sing Chakudana Dilo Yehi Jalme Jalme Prabhu Sehi. A bona fide spiritual master, the representative of Lord Sri Krishna, restores our spiritual sight, and thus he is our eternal Lord and Master. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya. Today we have read the verse spoken by Lord Sri Krishna about himself. As nowadays there is a talk about the existence of God or proof of the God. So how does a devotee understand Lord Sri Krishna? Srila Prabhupada used to say, we understand Lord Sri Krishna from him directly. And here Lord Sri Krishna is directly speaking to us. And very clearly the process is mentioned to us, where the translation reads that when a diseased eye is treated with medicinal ointment, it gradually recovers its power to see. So that means when the eye is diseased, your ability to see is restricted. One is not able to see properly when he gets eye disease. And when he goes to the expert eye doctor, he will prescribe ointment, he puts into that, and once his disease is removed, he can clearly see all the subtle things. Similarly, as a conscious living entity cleanse himself of material contamination by hearing and chanting the pious narrations of my glories, he regains his abilities to see me, the absolute truth, in my subtle original form. So if someone wants to see the Supreme Lord, who is beyond our capacity of our mundane senses to see, so naturally people ask that how can you believe the Supreme Lord when you can't see him with your own eyes? But the process is very clearly mentioned here, that anyone who hears and chants his glory definitely regains his ability to see the absolute truth. So the process is mentioned here by the Supreme Lord. So suppose if you want to understand a certain person, let's say the Prime Minister of India. So you may go on speculating about him, or you may gather some information talking to his friends and relatives. But if you ask him directly, he can provide you all the information about himself. Now he can tell you what was his year of birth, where he born, where he got educated, what are his hobbies, what are his likings, what are his dislikings. Everything about him we can learn directly from him. And that will be the bona fide information. So similarly here, we keep faith in the words of the Supreme Lord, where the Supreme Lord is mentioning about him, about his activities, at the same time the process by which we can see him. So in the purport it's mentioned that when you get an eye disease and a doctor who cures that and restores your original eyesight, you feel very indebted to such a doctor. So the one who restores our spiritual sight is the spiritual master, and he is the bona fide representative of Sri Krishna, who restores our spiritual sight, and thus he is our eternal Lord and the Master. So we have to understand that how it's our choice, whom do we listen? We listen to the Supreme Lord's words and the words that come in the bona fide disciplic successions, or we keep faith in the words of some other people. And those who keep the words of the Lord and his representatives, they have no difficulty in understanding the Lord and his activities. So here we have to see that how that one, when he listens, the first thing that he has to have, that he should have the humble attitude. And a person who listens properly, he will be successful in his life, whether it's a mundane life or definitely a spiritual life. A person who hears properly will become a successful in his life. We have seen the example of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, that when his spiritual master spoke, Srila Prabhupada attentively heard, and that was his main qualification. And we can see a person who succeeds because he listens properly. Now we have to always make a choice. One thing is, there will be a people who will be simply praising you or flattering you, and there will be some people in the world who will tell you what you need to know. So one has to understand that it may not be palatable for a person, because when somebody says to us what we need to know, it's not easy to accept. But that's essential in one's life, especially if a person is in the leadership capacity or a senior person. For him, it's especially essential that he doesn't have just the people who simply tell him what he wants to hear, but he must listen what he needs to know. Here, you will find those who are the true representative of Lord Sri Krishna coming in bona fide disciplic succession. They will always tell the people what they need to know and not what they want. Because it's natural for the people who will want the sense gratification in their life. They like to enjoy, play with the material nature. But the saintly persons will tell us what we need to know in the life. And that is very, very essential. Here it is saying, Lord Sri Krishna himself is saying that you please listen to my glories and recite my name. But so hearing means what? When you hear, there are two purposes in hearing. One is you connect with that person and then you learn. So whenever we hear the words of Lord Sri Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam through Vyasadeva, we are creating a connection between us to our spiritual master, and through the medium of spiritual master to the disciplic succession, ultimately to the Supreme Lord. Whenever we hear any subject matter in our class, so naturally there is a connection between a student and a teacher. A good student is one who listens properly. So naturally there is a connection between him and the teacher. So similarly, when we hear this transcendental narrations, the pastimes, we are also creating connection with our spiritual masters through the medium of spiritual master to all previous acharyas, leading ultimately to the Supreme Lord. And another most important function of listening is that we learn. If you just simply go on hearing and hearing, and ultimately if that doesn't result into you learning something, that hearing will be useless. If somebody properly listens, naturally he is going to learn something from that. And we have seen that all the previous acharyas, their main qualification that they heard from their spiritual masters. So we should understand that no person is so advanced or experienced that he can afford to be without a spiritual master. You may be in devotional service for many, many years, or you may be experienced in devotional life for decades and decades, but one can never claim that he is so much knowledgeable that he doesn't need a spiritual master. We have a very appropriate example of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was very, very learned scholar, and still on order of his father Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he approached Gaurikishore Das Babaji, who wasn't able to read and write. But as far as his spiritual qualifications were concerned, he understood all the real purport of all the scriptures. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur never thought himself that he is a learned scholar. He always maintained a very, very humble attitude in front of Gaurikishore Das Babaji. And when Gaurikishore Das Babaji wanted to test him, his sincerity, he repeatedly refused to give him initiation. But ultimately when he saw that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is determined to take initiation from him, otherwise he will end his life, he reluctantly agreed to give him initiation. So the point here is that no matter how much advanced you may be, you always need a teacher in your life from whom you can learn, from whom you can understand the things. Because what happens is we forget the importance of listening in our life. Most of the time we are too busy doing our own things or trying to make things happen around us. And in that process, a focus on hearing is shifted. But the main thing is, we can accomplish many more things if you just take time out and listen from others. And for that purpose, we must understand that we have to give time to listen in our life. So the listening is from one spiritual master, all the acharyas, as well as all the people around us. Because each person can teach us something. So that's why we have to understand that mainly we must master this art of listening properly. Because as I said, one of the main functions of listening is through listening you learn. And then what happens is, it's just not that we just gather some facts about the situation, some words. One has to go beyond and understand the feelings and what is the meanings of those words, what are the undercurrents laying under it. Because most of the time, our main focus is just to gather the factual content of the situation and we ignore the emotional content. How we understand this? We know when Srila Prabhupada started his preaching movement in the West and in New York, in 22nd Avenue, in the very early days, Srila Prabhupada was giving lecture on Bhagavad Gita. And one hippie came to that place and he was so much influenced by the intoxicant that he was not aware of the situation around him. What happened is he just simply walked into the room, and when everybody saw him, his dirty appearance, his filthy appearance, all of them were immediately repelled from him. But they could understand that you can't just talk to him because he's so high on the influence of a drug, that it's best to ignore that person. So he just came, went near to the toilets, near to the basin. He said something which made no sense, and he just left few toilet papers there and left from the scene, never to come back again. So everybody observed this whole situation, that one person came, left something and went away. But the remark Srila Prabhupada made is that at least he has started his devotional service because he offered something to us. As Srila Prabhupada is a true representative of Lord Sri Krishna, so whoever offered anything to Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, naturally he rendered service to the devotees. And to render service to the devotee is the highest thing in one's life. So Srila Prabhupada could see that at least this fellow had some emotion to serve something, do something for these people. These people appears to be nice, so let me do something about it. So the pure devotees of the Lord are able to gather what's the emotion that person is offering. Whereas as far as our understanding is concerned, we are so many times just stuck with the facts and figures of the situation and fail to take the notice of the emotions of the person who is offering. That's why it is said that the man, he just judge a situation by the result, whereas the God, his measurement is different. He judges by the heart. What is the emotion? What is the heart? What's the sentiment that this person is offering these things to me? So that's how we can understand this thing is learning how we can really listen. And we'll find that one who really listens is a very rare person. It's not easy, though we may claim that we hear. But what real listening is not so easy. Even the mundane scientists like Sir Isaac Newton, when he was asked about, you know, what is your, how you invent the things, what are the talents you have. So he said that if I ever made any valuable discoveries, it has been owing more to patient attention than to any other talent. That means he also acknowledged the need to listen and hear. And even though he is so renowned scholar, acclaimed scientist, he also gave more importance to listening than to any other talent. We may think that people may have so many of these talents and those that talents. But here he also was mentioning that we must have the proper listening attitude. As I mentioned, that many times we start this thing as the recent discussion is going on about the existence of the God, where we can see that the people make the very, very basic comments. But the point is whom you would like to listen. As we see, there is so much of order in this world. And whenever we see any order in the society, we have to have, there has to be some person who is putting everything as per the order. As we have the experience, like the state government has its own laws. And only government can make laws. They have that right to make the laws. So similarly, religion is made by God. The laws of religion cannot be manufactured by any mundane scholar. It has to be understood by the Lord Himself. That's why we find in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that dharmahetu sakshat bhagavat pranitam means the definition of religion is made by the Lord Himself. When Lord says that this is the dharma, we have to follow. And we see, as we have taken the example of this Newton, who has discovered this law of invention. But we have to understand, when he got this intelligence that when apple fell from the tree, he said that these are the causes and this is the law exist. But the thing is that who made that law of gravitation? It is the Supreme Lord who made that. So if people want to give credit to the scientists for the things that they discover or invent, we have to understand that so much credit has to be given to the Supreme Lord for doing those things. When man invented airplane, the people were thinking that this is one of the greatest achievement the mankind has made. And at the same time, they forget to acknowledge that the Supreme Lord has made so many planets and kept him floating in the universe. You can't even count those number of planets that are floating in this universe. So if one wants to give credit to the scientist for such a small things, then why not give credit to the Supreme Lord for doing so many things? As people say, if there is something which can be proven by the experiment, then only would like to believe on that. So usually the science has the four aspects we can say, which means first they observe the things, then they come up with some hypothesis, then the experiment and the conclusion comes. And they don't like to believe that the God existed or he performed his pastimes. And at the same time, they will believe on their own theories which they come up about the evolution of this life or about this material world. So they will give the theory of a Big Bang, which itself doesn't fit into the functions the way the science arrives at the conclusions. Because if we have to accept that this universe came about simply by the explosion, then they have to satisfy the criteria which they themselves have laid down. If they come up with this hypothesis, that this universe came about by big explosion, but then there was nobody who observed it. None of the scientists were present to observe that. And at the same time, they can't experiment with it. They can't make such an explosion and prove to us that the universe came into existence because of the explosion. The only memories we have about the explosions, recently we can see that so many places the bombs goes off. And what remains with us is the horrible memories, the sufferings of the relatives. So many people have got so much of emotional and mental shock from that, they have become mad. They are not able to relate themselves in this world. So how is that, that when they accept their own theories like this, but when they come about the existence of the God, they would like that it has to satisfy certain criteria. So ultimately, Srila Prabhupada has explained that we have Srila Vasudeva who has written these scriptures, and at the same time, there are so many saintly persons who are like Narad Muni, Asita, Devala, Vyas. And in recently we have seen Srila Prabhupada and his acharyas, his spiritual masters. Their lives is saintly. It's totally free from all any vices of this material world. And they are giving us this knowledge and telling us about the Supreme Lord and how to worship it. So we have a choice whether to put our faith or listen from these people who have a pure character, or listen to the people whose theories are fraught with so many defects and who have a self-motivated desires and working for some remunerations. And wherever you put your faith, from whichever place you listen, that will determine your destination. But the devotees of the Lord, as I mentioned, they like to hear about Supreme Lord from the mouths of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here the Supreme Lord is talking about Himself in Bhagavad Gita. Supreme Lord talks about Himself, about His activities, about His powers, how this world functions. And Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures are there in which the sages, they describe about the activities of the Supreme Lord. So here we have a choice from whom we listen. And if we listen from these purely saintly persons, definitely we can reach to the supreme destination. So again, we can go back and hear like Srila Prabhupada. He said that it's easy for us to simply listen and learn and see how a child learns. A child just learns from his mother and father. The child inquires, what is this? And the father will say, this is a glass, this is a table, this is a stand. And the child listens properly and learns from his father about everything. So similarly, we understand about the Supreme Lord from the devotees of the Lord. We just listen from the great Vaishnavas, and then we become expert in devotional principles. It is not that one has to have a learned scholar or so much of qualification to understand the devotional service. Even child without any education can also become Krishna conscious simply by hearing. That's why we find so many children in Gurukul or the children of a devotee. They learn so many shlokas, so many aspects of devotional life simply watching their teachers or parents. And they are able to do so many things. So simply by hearing and seeing a behavior, one can understand so many things. As we have seen in the example of Narad Muni, where he mentions these things to Vasudev. He says that when I was in the association of great Vedantists, simply by their mercy and association, I could hear about the attractive activities of Lord Sri Krishna. And thus, listening attentively, my taste for hearing about Supreme Personality of Godhead increased at every step. And then we have the example of Maharaj Parikshit. Because we can never forget, when we are talking about listening, we have to mention about Maharaj Parikshit. In those days, naturally people were inclined to hear about spiritual topics. But when Sukhdeva Goswami was glorifying Maharaj Parikshit, he called him Rajendra. So Rajendra means that he is important, he is the king in the Rajarshis. That he was so much had intense desire to listen. And his inquiries were proper. He was asking about the Atma Tattva, that how one can attain one's life destination, and a person who has got this curse, how he can perfect his life. So here we can see that simply by inquiring from a right person, and then as the Supreme Lord is talking to Uddhava, saying that hearing about my glories and chanting my name. So the chanting the holy name of the Lord also can reclaim the worst of sinners. The holy name has to be heard from the lips of pure devotees. And then the holy name has to be received in a very, very surrendered heart, submitting oneself at the feet of one's spiritual master. And then when holy name thus received, when we constantly chanting this free from all offenses, then we can purify our heart. So this is how one has to understand that the sages, who were very eager to hear the instructions from the spiritual masters, like when Suta Goswami was speaking, all the sages assembled in the thousands and thousands of sages were there. They were very eager to hear his instructions. They were listening very quietly. And that was the greatest qualification. And anyone who is interested in making spiritual progress in his life, then he must approach to the authoritative, bona fide spiritual master and submissively learn from him. So that is why we have to understand that it's so much important that we hear these things from our spiritual master. As I mentioned, that we have to learn to listen and listen to learn. That means function of listening is to learn. And definitely any person who is learning, that means he is listening it properly. If you are not learning, that means naturally you are not listening. It so happens that because maybe your ears are open, but the mind is closed, the heart is closed. So that is why one has to understand that proper hearing has to be there. We find in our day-to-day life that the majority of problems that occur because of poor communication or poor listening. It is said that the people just want to listen in which they have some interest, or we are so selective, or we just cannot understand the other person's viewpoint, or sometimes we are not even ready to listen what other person has to say. And that is why it is said that the only people who listen to the both sides of an argument are the neighbors. Because each one in an argument is simply trying to make his own case, that he simply just forgets to listen and understand what other person are saying. Whereas a person who is a neutral person outside, he is the only person who is able to understand what these two parties are saying. So this is how poorly we are taking these things. That means we have to understand that what this poor listening can do. When we are not properly listening to others, then what will happen is definitely it will cause a lot of misunderstandings. It will make a lot of mistakes. There will be hurt feelings, conflicts and disagreements. So even in our day-to-day life, if there is no proper listening, it can cause so many things. At the same time, now we have experience. If we have to work with somebody, now who is our leader or who is our boss, and if he never listens to us, we don't like such a person. And if you ask to our people, now what is the reason why you like your leader? So most of the time we will find the people will give this answer. I like my superior because he listens to me. And most of the people will give that reason and not because he is an expert in this or is expert in that. He will just say, because whatever I had to say, my superior finds time and listens to me. And I find that's the greatest quality he has. So we'll see that how it's so much important that we understand importance of listening. And if you have to listen, you have to keep some silence. And if you see the word listen and silent has got the same letters. So that is why it's very, very essential that we understand this main thing, that we take listening so much of granted and we think that we are listening. But actually, for the proper listening, one has to have a humble heart, which is mentioned here. That's why when Bhagavad Gita says that when you have to approach your spiritual master, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. So which it says that the first the surrender has to come, and then you make inquiries, and then you render service. It's not that you make questions first, make inquiry first, because if you inquire and there is no surrender, then what will happen? You won't follow what is being told to you. And you may have the best spiritual master in all of the universe, but if there is no surrender in your heart, then what can happen? You may listen to his word, but those listening will not result into learning. So the proper listening will definitely cause a learning. So one has to understand that do I approach my spiritual master or to the devotees with the desire to learn from them? Because what happens is each person has potential to teach us something. But for that purpose, we have to have our heart open. Like, for that purpose, the right attitude has to be there. We can learn only if we have a right attitude. And let us see how this right attitude can be cultivated, or how we behave usually. Many times we find that many people have got this attitude, who feel that no one can teach me anything, because they feel I know everything. I have studied hard, I have earned degree of doctorate, so now what can I learn from other person? Or a person who becomes a successful businessman, and if he is running a very big corporation, then naturally he would not like to listen from a person who is in a small trade. So this is what happens, that sometimes some people feel that I am experienced, I am in devotional service for so many years, so why should I listen from others? So many times the highly qualification, the success or experience hurts ourselves, because we close our mind. And then what happens is, we are hurting ourselves, the loss is ours, because this comes from arrogance in our heart. If there is such kind of arrogant attitude, then learning can never take place. As we are talking about so much of hearing, but somehow or other, these things crop up in our mind. But one has to understand that no one is too old, too intelligent, too successful, so that he can learn something from others. So if we are in this category, we have to make an effort that we just come out of this, the tricks of Maya which plays us, giving us the understanding that you are such a successful person, you are such a scholar person, you are such a learned and experienced, so why you need to listen from others? And usually we find that many, many successful people do suffer from this. And not only outside people, we also sometime, some part of our life, also face a similar kind of situation where we block the listening or learning process from others. And sometimes it may so happen that some people understand that on my own I can't do anything. I do need assistance of somebody. I need a teacher. But still, because of their inexperience, they feel that only this one person can teach me everything. And they are simply attracted to one person. But then what happens is, whatever is the level of that person, you are able to understand that much. Whereas we see that we need to learn from many people. It's just like now we have in Chaitanya Charitamrita the examples of many, many devotees. And from many, many devotees, we learn from many, many things. It's just like Sanatana Goswami was personification of humility. We understand the virtue of tolerance from Haridas Thakur. We understand the renunciation from Raghunath Das Goswami. So from different characters in the scriptures, we can learn different things. So similarly, in our life also, we come in contact with different people, and we can learn from different people. As we have another example in the life of Ramanujacharya, that we have heard that story many times, that once when he was on its tour, he visits one village, and in that village he had two disciples. One disciple was a rich person, another disciple was poor. So Ramanujacharya goes to that village, he waits at the outskirts of the village, and he sends his disciples and tells them that you go first to the rich man's house and inform them that I have come. So his disciples, they go to his house. The rich man, the moment he understands his spiritual master has received, he becomes so happy, so joyful. immediately starts making elaborate arrangements to receive him, but somehow or other he fails to take proper care of the messengers, the disciples of Ramanujacharya. And when Ramanujacharya's disciples come back and report to their spiritual master as to what has happened, then Ramanujacharya says that now you go to the house of another disciple who is materially poor. And when when poor man also comes to know the spiritual master has come, similarly he also becomes very joyful. And at the same time, he nicely takes care of the representative of his spiritual master. And then what happens is, the Ramanujacharya ultimately decides first to visit the house of his disciple who is materially poor. Because what was the attitude of that? That he was being respectful, he was trying to learn and listen from all the people in whom he came in contact with. There was a simple mistake made by that earlier disciple. No doubt he had a faith in his spiritual master. But if you have just this kind of understanding that I can learn everything only from one person, then definitely the growth becomes stunted. If you have overall development, then we have to have attitude in such a way that everyone can teach me something. And we have to have a that kind of attitude. So when we are willing to listen like this from a proper authority, we can make progress in a spiritual life. As we are reading in this canto, one of the shlokas, a previous chapter, we find Lord Krishna is instructing to Uddhava, and then he is narrating the pastimes of Maharaj Yadu meeting the Avadhut Brahmana. And what happens is that when this Maharaj Yadu visits Avadhut Brahmana, and during course of discussion, this Avadhuta mentions that how he has 24 gurus and he is learning from them. Now we can just take few examples, as we will not be able to cover all the examples. So here one example that he talks about is of python. So we understand that this kind of a snake, that this variety of a snake, is usually lies at one place, and he has an ability that he opens his mouth and sucks the air, and that creates vacuum, and whatever is in that area just goes into his mouth. So he has to just lies down at one place, and if something comes by within that area, he will just suck it to his mouth. If you go to a very dense forest in deep jungles in Assam and not that area, now there are huge pythons lying there. They are capable of even sucking human beings also. Like there was that once the military was searching for their one missing soldier, and they couldn't find that where that person is missing. And then later on, after a few days, that one military truck was going from that, and he's on the way, the huge python was lying. So this military driver, he just drew the whole truck over him. And in the stomach, they could find the bullets of that previous soldier who was missing. And that's how they could trace that one soldier was swallowed by this python. So they are of such a huge capacity, they can just grab, just sitting at one place, a deer also, and suck the whole thing. So the thing is that what we can learn from this creature is that the intelligent person, a saintly person, who cultivates the mentality of detachment from them, and he simply maintains his body by whatever comes on his own accord or whatever is easily available to him. That means he doesn't make unnecessary endeavors to maintain his material life. He's just happy whatever food is available, and his most time is focused on worshipping the Supreme Lord. That's his main goal. And then whatever comes by the will of providence, he just accepts that. And in case if nothing comes, then he understands that this is the divine arrangement of the Supreme Lord. It is due to my previous karma that I am destined to suffer like this, and he doesn't complain about it. So this is the way he learns from the situation, that this is the divine arrangement of the Supreme Lord, and I should remain happy in whatever situation Lord keeps me. Because devotee has this firm faith that whatever happening in his life is by the will of the Supreme Lord. Lord maintains his devotees. If he wants me to fast, then I will happily fast. Or if he arranges for a huge feast, I will accept that. So with the same attitude, he accepts this situation. Because most of the time, he is focused in rendering various types of devotional service. The same principle once was told by Jagannath Mishra to Mother Sachi, that when Jagannath Mishra's elder son Vishwarupa takes sannyas, then Jagannath Mishra thinks that if my another son Vishwambar, if he learns the scripture, he will come to know that this material world is a place of misery, and he will also follow the path of his elder brother, he will also accept the sannyas. So better I will not teach him. So he stops his education, and Nimai also becomes very happy that he doesn't have to study. And along with his friends, they start making so many mischiefs. And when Mother Sachi becomes concerned that now my son is not studying and is simply wandering whole day doing so many mischiefs, she becomes concerned and talks to her husband and says that, look, if we don't teach our son, then how will earn his livelihood? Who will give their daughters in marriage to him, to such an uneducated person? To that, Jagannath Mishra replies, he says that, you are a foolish woman. You don't understand that the Supreme Lord maintains everything. And if he wants, he can make all the arrangements. He said, look, I am so learned, and there is nothing in our house to cook. And whereas I know so many people who are absolutely illiterate, but they have so much of wealth that so many pandits are loitering in their doors. So if it's written in the destiny of our son, then he will get those richness. And if it is destiny is not there, then he will suffer. So according to the will of the Supreme Lord, one can enjoy. And according to the Supreme Lord's will, one may suffer. So this is how this principle is mentioned here, that even a simple creature in this material universe is capable of teaching a great lesson to us. Then another example that is given is of the ocean. So it said that the ocean, in the rainy season, the rivers take lots of water to the ocean. But in the rainy season, so much of quantity of water receives, the ocean doesn't swell up. Or in the summer season, when the rivers dry up, no water goes to the ocean, the level of ocean doesn't decrease. So whatever may be the circumstances, the ocean always remains steady. So similarly, the mind of a sage who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead also appears to be very clear, it's grave, and just like still ocean waters. For him, wherever he is able to perform devotional service, wherever he is able to worship his worshipable Lord, he is happy in that circumstances. And where he is not able to perform the devotional service, that place is miserable for him. He doesn't become like ordinary person, becomes elated when he achieves desirable things or some material things. Or he doesn't become distressed in the absence of material wealth. He will simply remain still like that of water of ocean, whether he gets material opulence or not. Whatever assets he has, he always engages in the service of the Krishna. So this is how one can learn from the ocean, that even if a pure devotee is there, and whatever may the test comes, just like in the case of Haridas Thakur, the test came in the form of a Mayadevi herself. But because his mind was steady like that of an ocean, serving the Supreme Lord and chanting the holy name of Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That his mind always remains still that of an ocean. So the saintly person, even if this kind of test comes, because he is not hankering for anything material, he is able to remain peaceful in the life. Then we can see the example of a moth. Just like the moth, he becomes enticed by the fire, by the lamp. And then when he comes and touches the fire or a lamp, it ends his life. It gets completely burned. So similarly, a person who foolishly gets attracted to the captivating form of opposite sex, his life also gets completely destroyed. As the moth touches the fire and completely gets destroyed, similarly, those who are chasing after the embodiment of illusionary energy of the Lord, he loses his life and ultimately falls down to the most horrible hell. So what one can understand from a moth is that the attraction or desire to see the beautiful form will ultimately lead for the bhoga or exploitation of that form. So that's why the eyes has to be trained properly, so that we always make it a point to see the divine lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And we have the best example of this in case of Lakshman. That when Ram and Lakshman meets Sugriva in the forest, and Sugriva says, yes, I saw Mother Sita being carried by Ravana in the sky. And when Mother Sita saw us, we were sitting on the top of a hill, she threw some of her ornaments in our direction. And we have collected those ornaments and kept with us. And then he presents those ornaments to Lord Ram. And the moment Lord Ram sees the ornaments wed by Mother Sita, he becomes very happy. And he starts saying, yes, this is the ornament worn by Mother Sita in her neck. And he starts speaking to Lakshman. But then what happens is, Lakshman says, I can only recognize the ornaments worn by Mother Sita in her feet, because I always looked her lotus feet, and I can recognize only this ornament. Whereas the rest of the ornament, Lakshmana could not recognize. So you can see, of course, this is the best example, the how one can give training to one eyes. That's why the whole the cinema industry is, because people want to see something beautiful, attractive, and there's the whole cinema industry is built upon that. But how a devotee, he trains his eyes is like, you know, we have so many festivals that we celebrate in our temple. And what we do, we decorate the divine form of Supreme Lord in various decorative way. At the same time, we try to create different kinds of scenes of pastimes, so that it's a feast for our eyes. So our eyes at present were attracted by the illusory energy of this material world, can be trained to attract to the divine form of the Lord. And that's why we make elaborate arrangements of festivals, and we have different kinds of decorations, so that the eyes that are attracted to the material world will be attracted to the divine form of the Lord. That's why usually the pujari department has to keep in this mind that whenever they make these kinds of nice arrangements, the devotee should be hankering that, let me go to the temple and see today the beautiful form of the Lord. And that's how we can train these eyes, which are constantly trying to look for the happiness in this material world. And when they get attracted by this divine form of the Lord, then only they can be saved from this material universe. And then he gave the example of bumblebees and honeybees, where he says the first about the bumblebees is, the bumblebee is like, it goes on different flowers and collects honey from that. And sometimes it so happens that it sits on a flower, keeps absorbed in taking the honey. And in case of a lotus flower, evening it closes. So if the bee sits on it for longer time, simply enamored by this honey, then what happens is it gets entrapped in that. So similarly, the sages or saintly persons, they are just satisfied with small quantity of foodstuffs. And they just visit to many places, just collect little bit that is necessary and move on. As we have example of Sukadeva Goswami, how he would visit to the houses of grihasthas in the morning time when the grihasthas would be milking the cows, and would wait there just enough time that is required for milking the cows, just take, accept little amount of milk and go away from that. Because when we, especially the persons in a renounced order of life, if they get attracted to the opulence of the grihastha order, then there is a chance that they also may develop attraction and get entangled in that and lose from the path of renunciation. So that's why it's very, very essential that we just accept just minimum bare basic things that are required. And if we linger more than necessary, then naturally the attraction will develop and ultimately lead to we going away from that path. So similarly, from honeybees, one can understand that if we keep storing, then what happens is one day a honey thief will come and just take away the whole honey with him. So you work so hard, and accumulate, and then one day death will come and everything will be taken away from us. It is said, for a sannyasi, he shouldn't even save for his next meal, because he has to have dependence on the will of Supreme Lord, because Supreme Lord will always take care of him, and he is more worried to provide for his devotees. So here are so many examples, as the list is very big, like there are 24 gurus and we cannot discuss all of them. But the point is, we are making here today is that when we have a humble attitude, and in that humble service attitude, if we will listen, then naturally that listening must result into learning something, and that learning will turn into change in your life. If your people are saying that there's nothing happening in my spiritual life, I hear so many things but no change in taking place, then we have to go back again to the basics and see where we are making mistakes. That if there is a proper listening, listening has to result into learning, and learning will definitely bring the change. Why we find modern education has failed to bring prosperity in the society is that, as Radha Gopinath Prabhu always mentions this point in his Bhagavad Gita course, that modern education simply gives information, information, and information, and there is no transformation. Because education must transform your life. If the education doesn't transform your life, then what is the use of that education? And that's why we find in previously the main focus of education remain the character development, and because of that we find that they were properly trained first in understanding the religious scriptures, the laws of religion, and then they understood how they can earn their livelihoods. And that's why when they become successful or prosperous, they could lead a proper religious life. What happens today is a simply focus is given on mere academics, and when person becomes successful or wealthy in a life, he doesn't know how to lead a proper life. So that's why if you see dharma, artha, kama, so in that first comes dharma and then comes artha. Whereas today's life, the first is artha, but when you are artha, if you don't have a proper dharma, you most of the time you misuse the artha that is there. And ultimately we can find that the artha is the cause of anartha. So this is what it happens, is the wealth, if it is there with you, but there is no proper training, there is no proper learning, then that causes the total ruination of one's life. So that's why one has to see that we should be willing to listen, willing to learn from all the people who come in contact with us, because this attitude of learning has to be there. If this learning attitude is not there, then no matter what best situation is available to you, the best of spiritual master may be there, best of Vaishnavas may be there, but if you lack this attitude of learning from others, then you will not make any progress in the life. So, but for this, we have to understand that each and every person who is surrounding us is a valuable person. A person may be a very newcomer in a devotional life, still he is capable of teaching us many things in our life. But we can learn that only if we have a proper attitude. So we will summarize what we discussed today as we began with this verse from Lord Sri Krishna mentioning to Uddhava, where he was saying that when there is a disease in the eye, it can be removed by the ointment, and then you can clearly see even subtle material things. So similarly, when the eyes of living entity is contaminated materially, then such a contamination can be removed by hearing and chanting the pious narrations of my glories, and then he regains the ability to see me in my original subtle spiritual form. As there's a lot of discussion nowadays goes about the existence of the Lord, so we discussed how, where, from who we listen. If we keep faith in the words of the Supreme Lord and his bona fide representative, we can get one result. Or we can keep the faith in the words of so-called materialistic or scientist, and then we can have another life. But in this discussion, like mainly we heard that Supreme Lord is talking about hearing and chanting his name. So we understood that how this proper listening has to be there. The purpose of listening is to connect to a person. When we are listening properly to our spiritual master, we are connecting them. When we are listening the words of previous acharyas, if we are listening to Rupa Goswami, naturally we are establishing a connection with him through medium of spiritual master and previous acharyas. And this listening will definitely bring us to learning, and proper learning will definitely bring change in our life. And that's why we find the Bhagavad Gita that is given to us by Srila Prabhupada could change our life. There were so many other editions available, but only this could change our life, because Srila Prabhupada knew the real technique. He knew we can understand Supreme Lord through Supreme Lord himself. The Supreme Lord has spoken this Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada has given this Bhagavad Gita as it is to us. And then if we, in surrendered heart, in humility, understand this Bhagavad Gita, then definitely we can learn from it, and that will change our heart. Thank you very much. So.